Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
With that, let's bring in Jerry Dulac, Steelers Radio and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Happy holidays, my friend.
Well, Steve, thank you, and same to you. And I hope you're doing well. And, yeah, can't complain. All good here. Just waiting to see how this thing unfolds. As we have seen, it's week to week with this football team.
It's amazing. It was almost quarter to quarter yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Watching that. So what do you think turned it for them offensively from a team that had the ball, what, 6.5 minutes in the first half to a team that won the game?
Well, I think, you know, we have seen pockets, as you mentioned in this game, quarter to quarter. We have seen pockets where this football team played the way they would like to play. The fourth quarter in L.A., which was extreme. Defensive stops, defensive takeaways, 27 points, offensive points, you know, a block punt, doing the things necessary to come back from 24-10 and look like you're going to win the game, and then you give up an over-the-top touchdown, 53 yards, you know, bang like that, and you lose to the Chargers. But you think, okay, you know, that's the way, obviously any team would like to play, but that's what they kind of hope to be. And then they come back the following week and just get embarrassed in Cincinnati. And then they come against the Ravens with the best team in the AFC. Now, I will say this, Steve. I thought all along, you know, the Ravens have had problems scoring points. They're actually lucky to be 8-3, or at least were 8-3. They could easily have been 4-7, but they weren't, and that's to their testament. They're the most resilient team I think I've ever seen, and they almost did it again yesterday. And if it wasn't for a little a wide pitch out on that you know, that T.J. Watt caused on that two-point conversion, they'd have done it again. They'd have won another game in the last minute when, or last seconds, when it doesn't look like they're going to. But to your point, I think their ability to continually run the ball, which was a little surprising because they've had problems with that in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Ben being Ben does what he does more times than anyone except Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and that's engineer another fourth quarter comeback. And that's when he's at his best. He's been there a million times. He's calm. He's poised. He's confident. And you know, he knows how to run that hurry up, that 2 minute, that no huddle, whatever you want to call it, because they kind of have different names for it and different schemes for it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think defense, you know, making some plays. I think they got a little help from some of the erratic throws of Lamar Jackson, who, you know, I believe is the most unstoppable player in the league. But I will say he has struggled, and that's why their offense has struggled. He has struggled with his accuracy and throwing interceptions, which we saw on the very first series, heaving that ball in the end zone, you know, throwing a jump ball when he had no business doing it on the run. But it's almost, by watching him, it's almost like Lamar could play poorly below average for three quarters, and then when he has to, he throws on a switch, and then he's Lamar, the Superman, and does pretty much whatever he wants to do. And I think there was a combination of things that helped do that, but their ability, you know, to keep the Ravens off the scoreboard, I think, until the very end there. I mean, was, you know, a team that had given up 82 points in the previous two games, you know, keeping the Ravens under control until that last drive, I thought was a big key.
Jerry, the Steelers this season have picked their spots to blitz. But yesterday they blitzed not a little, they blitzed a lot. What kind of difference did it make?
Well, there's no question, Steven. I don't have the exact numbers yet on what percentage of time they blitzed, but I will say this. When you look at their numbers last year, everything from sacks to blitz pressure to percentage of blitzes to quarterback knockdowns to percentage of knockdowns to pressures to percentage of pressures, they led the league in most of those categories, and or they finished second and third in just a couple of the others. This year, their numbers were way off that. They, other than sacks, there was nothing higher than 18th in the league rankings. And so they were trying to rely on four-man pressure and on occasion five. We have seen the fire zone blitz, Dick LeBeau's fire zone blitz, disappear from this defense. But that lack of pressure, to me, was causing them a lot of problems. Justin Herbert being able to stand back there and you know, throw for 382 yards. You know, and even on that last touchdown that I referred to earlier. So they sacked Lamar Jackson seven times, which is a career high for Lamar Jackson. I'm still amazed a guy who is as elusive and as quick and as fast and explosive as Lamar Jackson could be sacked seven times in a game. I have a hard time believing that happens, and yet he sacked an awful lot. But I think their pressure, no question, and the pressure of T.J. Watt on that last two-point conversion, something as simple as that made him throw that little sidearm pitch out, and it just missed Mark Andrews. He got his fingertips on it, but, he didn't come up with the catch. And just something as simple as that pressure actually won the game for him.
Yeah, exactly. Although you have to explain to me why Andrews is open. That's a different story.
Well, Lamar Jackson missed him earlier in the end zone on that final drive. He was wide open. And he was, I'm with you, but I think it's hard to see on TV, but there's no question what they tried to do. They were going to eliminate the big play over the top to Marquise Brown. And no, so whatever that entailed, and you saw the way the Ravens started to drive, just throwing underneath check downs or just throwing underneath to running backs because the Steelers were leaving the middle of the field open because they weren't going to let number five get behind them or make big plays against them. And I think that was part of the reason. But, hey, as we know and we saw yesterday, he both likes to throw to Mark Andrews, whether it's down the field or over the middle, and they're just lucky they got away with it. The Steelers got away with it a couple times.
All right. What did you think about the decision to go for two by John?
You know, when it happened, I thought he's crazy because I thought, hey, look, you just kick the extra point. You have Justin Tucker and play for overtime. You just expended a lot of energy, mental and physical, to put yourself in that position. You know, play for overtime. It's not like you're facing Tom Brady or the Green Bay Packers, a team that was scoring tons of points. It was not like the Steelers were going up and down the field. Right. And Jim Harbaugh's explanation afterward was, you know, Marlon Humphrey was out, and he says, and we were out of corners. And he just thought, you know what, I'm not taking any more chances. In retrospect, I agree with the decision for two reasons. One, because you got Lamar Jackson in the backfield. I understand the Ravens, you know, they go on fourth down when two-point conversion is probably more than any team in the league. And when you have Lamar Jackson under center or behind center, how many times, more times than not, he's going to get you 2 yards. So with him back there, I get it. And here's the other thing, too. This was explained to me by the NFL people think this way sometimes. Is that when in that situation, Steve, you got one chance to win the game. You just got to make one play to win the game.
Yep.
If you go to overtime, you probably have to make 3, 4, 5 plays to win the game, whether they're defensive plays or offensive plays. Now you only have to make one. And when you have Lamar Jackson, the chances of making that one play, certainly on offense, are in your favor. And so because of that, I get it. I don't blame him. We saw Mike Tomlin do it years ago in 2015 in San Diego. A similar situation. It wasn't a two-point conversion. They had the ball on the Chargers' one-yard line. It was the last play of the game. They put Le'Veon Bell in the Wildcat. They snapped it to him. He went in the end zone. They figured, hey, we got one shot, one very good shot to end this right here instead of kicking the field goal and going to overtime. And he did. And they got away with it. I mean, they were successful. And so I get it. Like I said, the more I thought about it, the less problem I had with it.
In fact, when he did it, I liked it. I thought, you know what? You got a shot to win it right here. I mean, I was all for it. Yeah, I mean, Auburn, Alabama, that's the mistake I thought at the time Brian Harsin of Auburn made. You got Alabama there. Just go for it and see if you can just beat the king right there.
Right.
And he didn't do it.
I think if the Ravens are at home, I think maybe he kicks it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I asked Mike Tomlin today, I says, hypothetical question, reverse the situation. Say you were on, that was you on the goal line, and you know you have a Thursday night game. Would you try to win it right there and not have to go to overtime knowing you had a game 4 days later? And he said probably. He said possibly, probably. And, yeah. And you know, it's just, you know, sometimes the analytics, they're numbers, they're percentages, but sometimes those analytics don't take into account some of the game factors, whether it's momentum, whether it's weather, whether it's home or away, whether, like in this instance or this hypothetical, the Steelers might have a game 4 days later, and maybe you don't want to go to overtime. So there are other factors that come into play with those analytics.
Thoughts on Ben now, you know, seeing the finish line of a career?
Well, I want to be clear here, and I hope you understand that was a little bit of a stretch by Adam Schefter. Ben did not say that. He's saying that he told teammates. But what I do want to say, Steve, is look, we've known this. Haven't talked to Ben many times. You know, off the record, personally, this was his last contract year. They gave him a 1 year deal, and that's it. He doesn't have a new contract. And after there being much discussion whether to bring him back this year, there has been nothing that has happened so far this year to change their mind to think, oh, yeah, we're going to bring him back for another year, when they debated it long and hard this past year. And I have said all along, the only way they are bringing him back is if he makes a run to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. And I... you know, based on everything we've seen, I'd say that's highly unlikely and very improbable. So to say this is his final year and say he's telling people, well, to a degree, I think the Steelers have spelled that out to him. Not saying definitively, but look, I know he knows that. He knows that's probably, from a Steelers standpoint, was going to be his last year. And he won one more year to try and win a Super Bowl. And that's not happening. And I think Ben, you know, he can see with that offensive line and everything else, they're not that type of team. Doesn't mean they won't try. But I think he understands this is going to be it. And like I said, barring an unforeseen Super Bowl run, I think it's safe to say this will be his final year.
Jerry, Thursday, Vikings, short weeks. How predictable or unpredictable to you are short weeks?
Well, they would certainly be unpredictable because you don't know how some teams are going to respond physically, whether they're an older team, whether they're a younger team, or whether they're a veteran team that understands what they have to do, or if they're a young team that doesn't know how to prepare on a short week. I will say this, in his last three Thursday night games, since we're talking about Ben, he's thrown 12 touchdowns and no interceptions, and his passer rating is 140. So, if his last three games, Thursday night games, is one each year, so that means he was 38, 37, and 36. So even at age 36 on a short week, when he typically won't even practice most times till Thursday, now he has to play a game. It hasn't bothered him, and if it's going to bother anybody, it would bother the quarterback. You got Cam Hayward, who's 30, 32, 31. Will he be ready? He'll be ready. But it's hard to predict, how that's going to play out. Because, both teams are in the same boat. But I also think it has something to do with the quality of your depth. The Vikings are without a couple starters, including Dalvin Cook, which is going to be a big one for them. And I guess he was hurt yesterday, and I haven't heard anything more. But it's going to be up to your depth to be able to rotate players to see how you're going to survive on a short week.
And by the way, Marlon Humphrey is done for the rest of the season.
Right. I saw that, yeah.
Jerry, my good friend, thank you so much. Appreciate you very much. And we will talk soon.
Well, Steve, it's always good at chatting with you. I was at least so disappointed, as you know, in the overall tenure of the season, knowing your season, how close it could have been. And I'll tell you what else real quickly, what I discovered the other day, which I did not know. My friend Ken Wisenhunt was on that Penn State staff as an analyst all year, and I didn't know that. I speak with him from time to time. I hadn't spoken with him in a while. I called him last week, and he told me, he says, you know what I've been doing? He told me, and I said, I never knew that. Good for him. He's a great guy. He's a great coach, and I hope he gets back in the NFL soon.
Absolutely, and I've had a few conversations with Ken. I know exactly how you feel about him, Jerry. He's just a great guy. Great mind, too.
The funny thing is, Steve, real quickly, is, in watching the games, and I remember this three games ago, as I'm watching on TV, I thought, my God, that guy looks like Ken Wisenhunt. I didn't think anything more of it. And I realized it was Ken Wisenhunt. That's why it looked like
it. Oh, my goodness. Jerry, thanks so much, my friend. We will talk soon.
Yeah, I hope so, Steve. Always good chatting with you, my friend.